Thank you, worship team. Today, like any other day on Sunday, we join thousands and millions of people around the world in worship. Some worship on the mountains, some worship on different villages. There are those who worship in hidings, in having to fear for their lives. But one thing for sure, the people of God, we join them today. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That we, even though we gather here from different nations, I'm thinking of home, I'm thinking of the hymns, I'm thinking of the a cappella, and just the beauty of God's people come together to honor the one who gave his life as the ransom of our sin. Amen? Aren't you grateful? Aren't you grateful? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love us, that your love is powerful. Your love has no barrier. Your love reaches to us in the midst of our unworthiness. You choose to love us when we don't deserve nothing. You choose to love us. Amen. I'm just going to fix this quickly, like I always do. Brother Samuel, can you help me here? Amen. Let's see if this works. Do I need to change anything here? Okay. Yeah. Our text today, as we approach and move closer towards the Easter, it kind of prepares us. I love this verse, I love this passage, because God comes to us. Here is an interesting situation. A situation that, have you ever hoped for something and you disappointed that it didn't go the way you hoped for? Huh? Maybe I'm the only one. Have you ever believed in God for something? Maybe you have this experience. Maybe you are in that situation right now. And I like this story because it brings to us the reality also of the life that we live as Christians, as believers. So the situation here is as Jesus on his way to Jerusalem and has been a news that came. And the news came and said Let me just read from verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus, now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent words to Jesus and say, Jesus, the one that you love is ill. We know the story. We've heard the story many, 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 many times. But there is something about this story that reveals the glory and the power and even the humanity of Jesus, to remind us that he comes to share with our situation. So I wish Covenant players can do some drama on this dialogue here. So when Jesus heard the sickness, he said to his disciples, this sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified. So there is a situation, a real life situation, that death is slowly moving and hovering over a family that Jesus loves. And they sent a message that needs Jesus' attention right now for him to come and intervene in this situation. What happened was, Jesus chose not to go immediately. He said, I'll stay back. I want you to, I'm going to ask you if you could go home and read the whole situation. The message here is not just one verse. Yeah, though there are key verses here that stand out, that represent the message, but the whole story, the whole dialogue, the conversation reflects who we are. And man, there comes a time when situation will bring us to our knees. It comes at times when our ability and capacity as human comes to an end. You see, in this situation, that a man is dying, that the people who Jesus loved sent message asking him to come right now to help in this situation. He chose to stay back. Yeah? So he knows the situation. After a while, he told the disciple, he said to them, after a few days, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. There are times that our situation becomes the platform in which God is about to do wonders in our lives. Amen? Amen? That we don't resist and rebuke the situation and need God, come on, breakthrough, and our impatience started to expose itself. But here Jesus knows the situation. He knew exactly what was going on. He knew your situation, wherever you are now. God is never too late. Amen? Never too late. The God who created time is always on time. Especially in our You know, God's timing in any situation is a biblical truth. If we go back to Eden, the fall of man, Jesus didn't fix the, God didn't fix the situation right there. Yeah? For ages and decades, history foretold that God planned patiently the coming of the Messiah. It was not an afterthought, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? God laid the plan from the very beginning. His patience, his plan, his involvement in time to give man the chance to come to repentance, to come to him. Even now, as Jesus victoriously rose from the grave and said, I will come again. The timing is under his power. Amen? The calendar of God, the time of God. He understood our situation. As we see here in the situation with Martha and Mary. Now, if we look at the tradition of the Jews, some of the tradition that what they believe is that when a man dies, these first and second days are critical. They believe that the soul of man still hovering over until the body and decomposition begin to take place. Then there is no return. These 3 days is part of that culture, the history in the Eastern, ancient Eastern time. A prophet, when he comes to visit, he stays for 3 days. Visitors, they come and visit in that culture. First time, they rest. Second day, they fellowship. Third day, they get ready to leave. So Jesus here took his time. A man is dead. He waited till death can do the worst it can. And then he chose. Now let's go. Yeah, that's what he said to his disciple. Let's just go back here. He said, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there. So that you, Joely, may believe that whatever situation we are in is an opportunity for our God to do wonderful things. Amen? God is never too late. Now, Jesus arrived. There were already people there. He's been dead for a few days. And here, Martha, he saw Jesus. She came and greeted Jesus. And this is what she said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. How many times that becomes our attitude, that everything is too late. It's been done. I don't think, thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you for being so kind and thinking of us. But it's too late. Have you ever felt that way before? Martha. I love these two ladies. If you had been here, Jesus. Somehow this responsibility of the death of Lazarus, kind of like being put on the lap of Jesus. Death is done. The body is beginning to decompose. Jesus, turn up. But one thing about Jesus, he's responded. Many times we do not know what God has intended in our situation. Amen? Like here. He looked at Martha and he said, Martha, your brother, he will rise again. You know what Martha's response was? Yes, Jesus. That day of resurrection, he will rise again. I know he will rise again when the Messiah comes on the day of resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am standing here. The power of resurrection is here embodied in the person of Jesus Christ talking to Mary. And I like the way that Jesus approached this. He didn't judge them for their lack of faith, but he come and share with us in our situation. He identify with us. He feel for us. And that's what we see here. He came and he comforted them. He went and got Mary. Mary came. The same thing Mary expressed. Jesus, if only you had been here when we needed you, my brother would not have died. Jesus understands the limitation of man. He understood how where we come to the end of our road. Jesus come and walk with us. His love manifested. His compassion comes and he feels with us. He comforts us. Isn't that amazing? He remind us that we are not alone. And that's what he did. The people they saw, they said, wow, look at how much he loved them. Jesus' tears, he says that his spirit must move. People observe and see the compassion of Jesus over the situation and those who were there and the people that he loved. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. In the morning in the Jewish culture, the first 2 days was intense mourning. First 3 days. Something happened here with Jesus. He said that he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. Trouble. That his tears and what moves him was beyond the pain that they are going through. Jesus looked beyond that and see death, the tyrant, the one who have dominion over the realm. There's something stirring Jesus. I like what Calvin expressed this rage that this Jesus didn't just come only to sympathize with us. He didn't just come with love and compassion over us, but he comes with power. Amen? He comes with power. He is ready to address and look at death in the face. I like this. He said, "Where have you laid him?" "Come, Jesus. Come, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. His compassion for mankind. When we look at the Bible said that one man's sin, death reigned throughout the whole race of humanity. One sin that happened in the beginning of time brings about death that every man, the whole race of humanity, will taste death. So Jesus came here, looked at the situation, understood where they are, walked with them, sympathized with them, the humanity of Jesus, to identify with us in our situation, to share with us in our situation. He asked them, "Where do you lay him?" They took and show him. An amazing thing. He came and he said, as they show him the stone, he said to them, "Remove the stone." If I was there, I would gladly, you know, "Okay, come on, Brother Samuel, let's go. Let's go now." He said to remove the stone. "Let's do it." The respond of the ladies, the pain that they go through, the realization of the frailty of humanity. They came to Jesus and said, but Lord, the body is in there. It's been lying there for some time. The body is decaying now. It smells bad." In other words, he's saying, "Jesus, thank you for coming. Before you remove the rock, let me tell you this, that what is lying in there can never be undone." This situation is too big. It's too late. He said, "Jesus, it's rotten. It's over." When Jesus said it's over, then it's over. Amen? He came and he said, "Remove the stone." Many times we're like that. We look at our situation and we feel like that our situation is more greater than the greatness of the God that we serve. That what we're going through right now, not many people know. This wall, this stone that separate, that stand in between Jesus and death. Jesus said, "Remove them." This wall, what is inside that wall? Who are we keeping it from? Jesus addressed the walls of our heart. Our situation may not be the same as this they're going through, Martha and Mary. Our situation can be different as Christian. But the same God who came and shared with our situation stands ready, yeah, to look in our situation Not only that it comes with love and compassion, but it comes with power to change the situation, to bring transformation in the situation, to open up the door. But he said, you have to remove that stone. You guys, remove the stone. And they did. They removed the stone, and here Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, who came and shared in our situation, stood there as a warrior, looking straight at death, looking straight at situation, looking straight at what cannot be undone, face to face. He looked up to heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said these for the benefit of those people who are standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Amazing prayer. Jesus is our intercessor. Many times when we approach God, we know that there are things in our heart we need to make right with him. But Jesus, the man who knew no sin, says that he petitioned, he interceded for humanity, that our prayer comes under the covering of his powerful shoulder to present to his Father our needs. Amen? And here he stood. He said, I know you always hear me. You always answer me. But I stand here on behalf of these people that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus, look at the grave, the pain, everything that is hidden within that wall, everything that is kept in that wall. Jesus, don't come near. You don't know where I've been. You have no idea what has happened to me. My situation is complicated, Jesus, that you don't even have any power to change it. Jesus said, remove the stone. He looked at death face to face. He looked at hopelessness in the face. Yeah? He looked at what cannot be undone. The worst thing you can, that death has no more power now for humanity. Yeah? He looked and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Life comes back. Lazarus came and he said, remove those things. Remove it. And here is Lazarus, fellowship. It's good to see you, Lazarus. Everybody, the face, the situation, everybody was in awe. Sometimes our situation, even though we may reject it, even though we may be frustrated, even though we pray against it, realize that any situation that we go through becomes a platform that God, who loves us, come and express his power and manifest his glory so that his name be exalted and people, that our situation becomes a testimony to the world around us. Amen. What is your situation today? I want to encourage us. to be encouraged today. Amen? Nothing is over. God's timing is always right. It's perfect. God knows and understands your situation more than you are. And he comes with compassion. He walks with us. He comforts us in the midst of our trial. And then he stands up and look at our challenges in the face. Yeah? So when he was looking, it was not just him. There were people also watching. He brings life to our situation. What is your situation now? Could be a past. Could be a relationship. Could be finance. Whatever the situation is, let's bring it to him. He comes, his power and glory. When he said this, Jesus called out voice, "Lazarus, come out." Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." He says here, verse 45, "Therefore many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary had seen what Jesus did and believe in him." Let me tell you this. This happened right before Palm Sunday. And when we approach Palm Sunday, it says that many of those that were there heard of what happened. The news spread all over the region. And that is a sign of a Messiah. What has happened there, that Jesus, this situation is foreshadowing the ultimate victory that Jesus will have over death, over sin and death, in his death and resurrection. As we approach the Easter, as we approach this Holy Week that's coming, let's pay attention in our focus on Jesus and who he is. Let's not forget the one who comes to give us life and life eternal. Amen? Amen? Mary said, "Yes, Jesus, I know." When Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again," Mary was responding to sometimes in the future. Sometimes in the future, in the far future, that is going to happen in the resurrection day. But Jesus is saying here, "I am right now, right here, in your midst, in your situation, the resurrection and the life. I'm standing right here in front of you." Amen? Pay attention. Remove the stone. Let Jesus come face to face. Whatever is there, let Jesus come face to face with your situation. Sometimes before we end the service today, we would like to invite people to come for prayer. Don't ever doubt our prayer. Don't ever doubt or question the prayer of the church as we stand with each other. Let's pray. Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name that spoke and everything came to existence. We want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge today. Help us to respond to your word. Help us to remove the stone. Let you come in and transform our situation and our lives. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.